We'll try to get through this tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 John tonight. And talk about the church a little bit. Church is a special thing. It is something that is the bride of Christ, the church. And all the believers are part of the church. And then we have our churches where we are. Like tonight, we are in this church. We are a church. We call ourselves New Life Fellowship. There are churches that are called First Baptist there, Pentecost, whatever they may be. But again, to be a part of the church, the bride of Christ, you have to have, you're just part of Christ. You have to have not a membership in a church, but a membership with Him, which means you have to have a relationship with Christ, all right? So I just want to, we're going to talk a little bit about that whole thing about the church and how it kind of, some things that John want to put in a couple of these letters. And I want to start with 2 John here. And I want to remind you that there is no perfect church. I don't care where you go. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor, okay? You need to understand that there's no perfect place. I wish somebody would tell those people that jump from church to church all the time. They just can't. They can't put up. I mean, one little bump happens in the church. They want to go on down the road. And they just don't get it. The thing is, I tell people like that, listen, you need to go look in the mirror. I don't think all those churches, they may have some bumps in there, but you got to work through that. So not only is there no perfect church, there's no perfect church on this side of heaven, and that's just the way it is. But I believe a church wants, a godly church wants to have a good name. Wants to have a good name. So when it's talked about, that is, good things are talked about that church. I believe a good, solid church wants to have a good testimony. Which means people are talking about what God is doing in that church, what God is, what the people are wanting to do and how they're serving the Lord. So I think a church really wants to have a good name, wants to have a good testimony in their community and amongst other churches. And I want to tell you, a church can lose it, can build it up in 20, 30 years and lose it overnight. Okay? But also I know that churches can go through hard times and make it through. Other churches can go through hard times, seem like they're going to fall apart, but God comes in and rebuilds it even stronger than it was before. Sometimes churches never get to the height where they were before. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It just means that's where they are today. So churches can be all over the spectrum, but the one thing they need to make sure is they got God in it. Okay? But I also believe a church is a place where the truth needs to be taught and preached. That's a part of a good church. Churches should be able to be a safe place for people. Be a safe place for people and a place of fellowship and a place of love. And when you see those characteristics in a church, I want to tell you, Satan is in the shadows waiting for a time to pounce on it, to start causing problems. His demonic will gravel around a church that is not godly. They'll do their works there, whatever. But they really want to get into churches that have a good testimony and a good name. Because a good testimony is built upon the name of Christ, and a good church, their name is built upon the good name of Christ. It's not upon themselves. Amen? Amen? So John's going to write these two little letters. We're going to look at them. And it says, the elder, to the elect lady, I want to tell you, and her children. The elect lady is the church, and the children is the congregation, okay? Now, to the elect lady and her children, I love all of you in the truth, and not only I, but also all who have come to know the truth, because of the truth that remains in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He continues to say this one word all over and over, truth, truth. I believe a solid church needs to be about the truth. And the truth is we're all sinners. The truth is that people need to hear the gospel. And sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Whether it's in a preaching or in a teaching or a one-on-one counseling session or whatever it may be, or a small group, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Let me tell you, sometimes you have to say the truth. And the truth sometimes is not so easy to take, and we're going to look at that in the next letter a little bit more detailed. But he says this in verse 4 as it continues. These are very, very short letters. These are very, very short letters. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in the truth, again, that word truth, in keeping with the command we have received from the Father. So now I urge you, dear lady, church, not as if I were writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, as you have heard it from the beginning, you must walk in love. John is always talking about love. If you go back to the Gospel of John, it's all about love. And you see 1 John, it's all about love. Once again, this is his piece that God's chosen this man to talk and just fire out love always in his writings. Okay, so it's about this love piece. I'll tell you, a good church, a good characteristics of a church is they need you have to love. You have to love the people in the church. You have to love those who don't look like you. You have to love people that may not act like you. You need to learn how to love all people. And then we're also called to love our enemies. Now, that don't mean you have to eat dinner with your enemies. Sometimes you have to learn to love people from a distance. I hope that makes sense to you. You can still love them, but you got to love them from a distance. I do not like allergy season. I get a little loud and then my voice squeaks. I feel like I'm 12 again. So anyway, it happened to me earlier today in my Bible study out in New Haven. I was like, oh man, all these guys and my voice is squeaking like a 12-year-old. But, so, we must walk in love, okay? We must walk in love. Listen, sometimes you're going to wake up and you don't want to love nobody. And I want to tell you, there's days you're not going to be able to love anybody. But with the power of Christ, you can love when you can't love in your own power. So you need to learn how to love through the Holy Spirit. Because you don't have enough love to love everybody on your own. Okay? You don't. I don't have enough love to love everybody. But through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, I can love people. Okay? So we got to walk in love. He always pushes that. Now, verse 7. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. He wants to give them a warning. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Okay? Watch yourselves so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Now, the last part of that, before I go back to the other part, is that John wants to remind the people, keep going. Don't get lazy. There's rewards that God's going to give to you. Blessings here and blessings when you get to heaven. Don't stop. Don't lose those. Okay? Don't lose those. We didn't get saved just to save us from heaven at that moment, or just to save us into heaven and to forgive us of our sins. Yeah, we got saved that moment, but there's a bigger picture on salvation. Once we become saved, there's a bigger the doors of other things begin to open. But they won't open until you get saved. Okay? And then we begin to serve the Lord. You know how many lost people are serving the Lord and don't know they're lost right now? Just take one place, like our meal ministry. People go down there and serve because they go to a church, or there are people there that go that are friends of someone in their church, or they go because they have community service and got to put 20 hours or 100 hours in. We have that too. Just because they may be connected to a church or connected in helping a ministry is not salvation. We don't get to heaven by the church. We don't get to heaven through serving. We get to heaven through what Christ already has done. It's not by works that we get to heaven. We don't boast on our works. We boast on Christ. Amen? But we need to serve him. Okay? And just remind me. I want to remind you. You'll never outserve what you think. Okay? You can never outgive God. You can never outthink. I mean, it's just amazing how God has this all work together. But he tells us deceivers will come. Deceivers are going to come. We've had some in this church. We've had a lady that came into this church, and I had to confront her. She began to give letters, little notes, to our youth. Now, we had a little more youth then. This is when we were in this building. Began to give these prophetic pieces to all kinds of people. And they began to come up to me, and it was scaring them. My question was, why wasn't she talking about what? One, she wasn't sharing the prophetic peace with the church. She was with individuals. And I understand you can do that with individuals, but she was picking young people. There were 100 warning signs in this thing. Many deceivers will go out in the world. They'll come into the churches. And we're going to get to a little bit more of that in a moment. But he says in verse 9, anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching but goes beyond it does not have God. I want to tell you, people will come into that part, they'll hear the gospel, and they're part of the four soils. They didn't really receive Christ, they heard it because their ears are so itchy, they want to hear the next thing. Don't believe everything you hear. Be careful who you let speak into your life. We got a lot of people speaking into our life right now. A lot of junk. I've had to close off my... Listen, if I'm not checking on your Facebook stuff right now, I'm kind of closing out a little bit on that right now. There's just too much stuff going on. Too many voices in my head. Does that make sense? I need to get more focused. But he says, the one who remains in that teaching, this one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home. And don't say welcome to him, for the one who says welcome to him shares in his evil works. We don't talk about that much because, let me tell you, you need to check out when you get into a class or you hear someone on the radio or you're checking something on YouTube, a preaching or a teaching, you need to check them out. The dark side will use a really good piece and they'll try to speak into your life and it sounds good. But you need to find out where that foundation is. Okay? Need to find out where that teaching really is. So he's given us a warning that there's going to be deceivers there. He says, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink. Instead, I hope to be with you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. Children of the elect, sister, and your great... So here's the part there. It's just that connection with the church. John is making a connection with the church, giving them a few pieces. And now we see, turn the page or look over, you'll see John 3. It gets a little more detailed. And some people believe that this is the same church. Some may think it's different. But let's just say it is a church, a letter to the church. Again, this was written out to the elder. To my dear friend Gaius, I love you in the truth. He's picking up that same word again, truth. John seems like, in all of his teachings, he's really strong about two things, love and truth. Love and truth. It's one thing when you read the Gospel of John and you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, there's just a similarity in all of these. And you start seeing a little bit of his personality. He says, dear friend, I pray that you may prosper in every way and be in good health physically, just as you are spiritually. I don't know. All I know is what you know in the reading of the disciples. But everybody has a personality. Every one of these disciples have a personality. I'm throwing out just my own personal opinion here. You can take it for what you want. But I think if there was a dispute, I think John is the guy that hangs back, tries to figure out how to love through this thing, reminding the guys to love through this thing. I think John is the guy that's always just trying to look at it through the eyes of the Lord and just with that love piece, always that love piece. Peter, the first one to take that knife out and cut that ear off, but Peter's awesome too. Everybody has a personality. And John just had a way of just bringing together. He says, for I was very glad when some of the brothers came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, how you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I want to tell you, as a pastor, there's no greater thing to know that when the church is walking in the truth, being faithful to God, committed to the things that they are called, that they said they were going to be committed to. I believe for a pastor, there is no greater joy in his ministry life. I'm telling you, there's a lot of pastors right now that don't have that joy. Yeah, this pastor wants everybody to show up in the services. Yeah. But when we live out our life as a Christian, as a believer, it reflects upon the church, and it makes the pastor be able to be in joyful mode or in heartbreak mode, or down at the altar praying all the time, asking God to intervene with all these issues and all these problems, and carrying all the stress and anxiety and the weight of a church that's in friction or in division. But he says, no, this is a joy because I've seen it. What it is, it ends up being a good testimony. When someone comes in and watches us from the outside and comes in and says something, whether they're in the pulpit or wherever, they say something, or you hear it out in the street and they say a good testimony, you can't buy a good testimony. You can't. People will say what they know. Now, can some people say some things that are not true? Of course. But this church, these people are getting a good testimony, and John is lifting them up. But he says in verse 9, dear friend, you are showing faithfulness by whatever you do for the brothers, especially when they are strangers. You know, sometimes we don't know who our Christians and who our Christian brothers and sisters are. And we have a lot. Our family is bigger than New Life. It's bigger than Indiana. It's bigger than the United States. We have brothers and sisters across the world that look different than us and speak a different language. But God is the creator of all mankind. He created all the languages. God speaks all the languages. And he is our Father. And he doesn't show favoritism, although you can have received favor, but he shows no favoritism. It means he doesn't love you more than he loves someone else. He loves all of his children. He loves you just as much as he loves those who are in Africa or New Guinea or in England and those who are hiding in China or North Korea. Even Russia. Let me tell you, when you look at Russia, don't look at Russia just the way the world, America, look at Russia knowing that there are some good godly people in Russia. I hope you know that. There's some awesome missionaries in Russia today. I reminded of a friend of mine who said they went to Russia and they were giving out Bibles, and they learned real quick that not to give out Bibles because the Russian mob took the Bibles and then they were selling them on the black market. So now to get a Bible, you had to go down and you had to be a part of the church. You had to be a part of the church, go to the church for like 4 months before you got a Bible. People waited to get a Bible. Here we have them all over the place and people didn't even pick them up. But over there they had to figure it out because they only had so many and people wanted the Word of God. So now those mob members that wanted to get it, they had to sit in church, had to be a part of that for four or 6 months. Isn't that amazing? But we have brothers and sisters that are over there. We don't always hear about their testimony. We don't. But they have testified in your name in front of you, of your church. So we've had people that have come here and testified through these 20 years that have talked about what they were doing, and we took them as their brothers and sisters through someone else's credibility, to someone else's word, saying, hey, these are good people. Let them come in. And we've done that. He says, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, which means you need to bless them when they go. As a church, we need to bless them when they go in word, pray for them, make fellowship with them, and also send them with some finances so they can get to their next place and take care of their own personal things. He says, since they set out for the sake of the name, that's a big end name for Christ, accepting nothing from pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we can be co-workers with the truth. So we need to be able to support godly women and men who are out in the field doing what we only doing here, but they are doing it out there. And because we do that, we are co-workers with them. We may not be able to be with them physically, but that's why we pick up partners in mission fields. And I'm working on one in Africa right now. Working on that, seeing what that's going to look like. But we are co-workers with them. And that's what people do here. There are people that give financially to the church and to the ministry. And they are co-workers with us, even though they may never put a foot down at the meal ministry or ever put a foot into whatever, working on the church or whatever we're doing. But they are co-workers in what we do. So John is really putting this here, and he's commending Gatius, but now he moves into a part here where, and this makes the church, the leaders of the church are reading this letter, and they're very happy about this. Yeah, we want to participate in the giving. And they're being lifted up, and they're being encouraged. So when someone talks about you and your walk and say, man, you're really growing. Man, you're really growing in your walk in the Lord. That is encouraging. Now, pastors, I want to tell you, we got a few here tonight. We need to be doing that more with other people in the church. Because when it comes from a pastor, even a pastor's wife, it is 2 to 3 times even more encouraging because it comes from the spiritual leaders of the church. Does that make sense? But I don't always say it to everyone. Because what did we just read back here? He says this, in that other letter, he was talking about, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, or anyone of that part, he says, and you welcome them, and it's not right, you're part of those evil works. So you want to lift them up in the right setting, okay? Then we need to be more encouraging, guys, all right? Pastors, wives, we need to be more encouraging, all right? We just need to do that. So he says in verse 9, I wrote something to the church. So he's talking about a previous letter. I wrote something to the church, but I'm going to butcher this name. Diotrephus, who loves to have first place among them, does not receive us. There are people that are in the church today that love to have first place. Do you know Judas was one of those guys? They love to have, even when Jesus was walking, some of the Pharisees, not all of them, do not put all of them in the same basket. There were Pharisees and Sadducees trying to figure out, who is this Jesus? They were really processing it. But the majority of them were a mess. So we have a guy here, and he says he wants to be first place among them, but he does not receive us. This is why, if I come, I will remind him of the works he is doing, slandering us with malicious words. Do you remember in your readings that Paul also had to write these kind of things, but it seemed like Paul was all, am I going to have to whip that boy when I get there? I mean, Paul was a little harder than John. But John is saying the same thing. What he's doing at this moment, he's saying, I don't really want to do this. Because there's not much in this line, in this letter about him, but there is enough. He says, I will remind him of the works he is doing, by slandering us and malicious words. And he is not satisfied with that. He not only refuses to welcome the brothers himself, but he even stops those who want to do so and expels them from the church. So there's somebody in this church that people are letting him do whatever he wants to do. And he's got a position. I'm sure he has a position in the church. And John's saying he's going to take care of it himself. It would be like our state exec coming down here and telling the church, sending a letter saying, I'm coming down. I'm coming up from Indianapolis. Most of you have never met him, but if the state executive comes, he's going to come, and there's usually a purpose and a reason. But John is going to do this. This guy's going to throw people out of the church. Now, I will tell you, there's times when you have to let people go. But this guy was not doing it the right way. This guy was doing things they're definitely wrong. He has a bad testimony. Now, some of you that have been in church a while, there's some names maybe spinning in your head from your past. Okay, so Phil Jones knows. Me and Carla know some. That people in high positions and pastor, associate pastors or deacons that cause really a lot of problems in the church. Well, let me tell you, when that happens, it hurts the whole church. The whole church is hurting. They don't know what is going on. So they begin to chatter here. And they begin to chatter over here. And Satan's laughing at all of it. Because you got good people now that are listening to some of the gossip. And you got some people that are very sensitive to that stuff. And everybody is in a place, most people are in a place where they just shouldn't be. And it comes and narrows down on this guy who's causing problems. It's been a few times when I've had to go. It's a part that pastors don't like to do. You see, the Bible says in Matthew 7:15 that there are some of these guys, false prophets or false preachers, that come in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep. They smell like a sheep. They move around like a sheep. But they're just dressed up like a sheep, because they're a wolf. And they want to tear the whole church apart. How many of you have been through a church split? Worst thing in the world. No one wins. No one wins. And sometimes it is just one person. Sometimes it can be a family. Sometimes it can be four or five families. Sometimes it can be whatever it is. Satan doesn't care as long as he can split the church. Leaders sometimes has to confront the evil. It's not something good. Sometimes, Phil, you guys are going to have to do that one day in your life. I'm sure Phil Jones have had to do that. I've had to do that. We've had an individual here that was trying to connect with our youth, one of our had to show him the door. Had a full blown out adultery in a place that was not, it was just horrible. And there was no reason to try to change. There was no purpose. They didn't want to change anything. And the man found right out in the, right here in the, where you guys are sitting, right over there. Right in the middle, right at the end of a revival. It was the most disgusting thing I have ever heard, and I've ever heard of. I mean, it was a love triangle like it was one other. Fiancés, it was just horrible. But here's the thing, none of them wanted to change, except one. And that person sat down at the end and broke. Somebody came up to me and said, at one time in the other church down the street, and you guys have heard me say this, walked up to me and said, you guys are going to fail. Your wife is not a pastor's wife. She's never going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to preach. You're going to fail, and you're going to just need to close up. You know what I did on that one? Lord, I don't know. I know this guy, and he's intimidating me in my first year of preaching. Will you please take him away? Just get him out of here. I can't deal with him. 2 weeks later, he was gone. Found out he was over at another church, and he was causing a split over there. There's been several of these kinds of things. It's the thing that you don't want to deal with as a pastor at all. I don't like those things. I don't like doing them. Now, there's a way to do it right. But this Diotrephes guy was doing it all wrong. He's a very selfish man. And can I tell you about selfish people? Selfish people are jealous people. He did not want John coming. Oh, he didn't want John coming. John going to put the hammer down. And in this letter, this man hears that. He says, I will remind him. So John, he knows in this, by this letter, he hears that the John's coming for him. But John's going to do it in truth. He's going to do it in love, but he's going to do it sternly. Because I'm going to share a couple things about pastor's role here in just a minute. Not because John wants to. Let me tell you, because John has to. John has to. For the health and welfare of the church. Verse 11, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we also testify for him, and you know that our testimony is true. Now what John is switching and saying, now this guy Demetrius, he's a good guy. He's of God. Listen to him. We're giving you confident word that he is good. You know he's good. And so we're going to lift him up with a good testimony. Okay? He says, I have many things to write to you, But I do not want to write to you with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. The friends send you greetings. Greet the friends by name. I like that. Greet the friends by name, which means fellowship. Don't walk in and just walk right out. I believe this in all my heart. Reading through the letters of John, John just loved people. He was just this guy who loved the church. He loved people. And even Christ gave him, gave him that revelation. And there's so much love in it. Yeah, there's so much other stuff, but so much love in it. It doesn't say that the other disciples, apostles, were no good. They were all awesome. I want to share a couple things, and I want you pastor guys to really pay attention, and pastors' wives to pay attention. And when you all, the rest of you, look at a pastor, think about these things. If the pastor isn't always watching the flock, the wolves will move in. Wolves will move in. I hope you know what that means. Number two, wolves wear sheep clothing. Don't get impressed by someone who comes in and spits off verses. The guy I was talking to you about spit all kinds of verses out and was very intimidated me in the very, very beginning of my ministry. I didn't know what I was doing. I was as green as the grass. But God was patient with me. Be careful, wolves. And let me remind you, wolves don't have to be men. Jezebel was not a man, but she intimidated the great prophet. Just by her words, he ran in fear. Let me just share something real quick. Pastor called me. This is about eight, nine years ago. We just got in here. Said there was a female that was going around to the churches in Fort Wayne. He says, I don't want to spill out who the churches are. But she went around and she would get an appointment with the pastor. And just to make a long story short, her goal was to have sex with the pastor to bring the church down. She had actually admitted it. And the last, she had been successful with a handful of pastors in Fort Wayne. And one pastor said this, he kind of got word this person wanted to talk, and he called his secretary in and says, hey, we have a meeting with her. And she came in, and secretary sat there, and she didn't like that the secretary was there. She leaned across his desk, and just where he could hear, he says, I'm coming for you next, and left. Of course, he prayed and everything, and God took care of what he needed to take care of. But I'm just telling you, wolves in sheep clothing just don't come for the church. Sometimes they come for the pastor's head. You understand? It's not always the sheep. Sometimes it wants to attack the one that's supposed to protect. So wolves wear sheep clothing, men and women. That can also be a teenager. Just telling you. Number three, wolves find the weak sheep to prey on. We are not to spend all of our time with the spiritual elite people, but with those who struggle in their walk with the Lord. We need to be a part of that. We can't stand around and protect them every time they go somewhere and do something, but we are to protect them the best that we can, because they will be preyed upon. Number four, wolves find the weakest spot to enter into the flock. They will find the weakest place to work. That can be through a ministry. And no greater ministry than two places, I will tell you, are the youth and the music. Seen a lot of youth pastors fall, and there's a good church, good people, where it all fell back here, and not here to church, but through the worship. And it hurt that church tremendously. Number five, sometimes the shepherd uses the staff to lead and pull the sheep. Poke them in direction, just a pudge and a nudge. Sometimes the shepherd has to use the staff to beat the wolves back. Okay? How do you know the difference? You need discernment. You can't fly off the handle by emotion because you will lose. It has to be discerned. You have to discern it. Number six. If the shepherd can't protect the flock, he won't have one. If he can't protect the flock, he won't have one lone. Okay? And the shepherd has to love the flock. When they act good, and when they're rebellion. When they work the way they're supposed to, and when they buck. And I want to let you know, from what I know, I don't know my personal, but I know some farmers, and they say, did you know sheep bite? And you got to love them when they bite. And you don't bite back. You have to do it a different way. Because if you don't, then you're going to take that staff and you're going to hit it like it's a rock, and you're going to expect water to come out, and you're going to do it out of anger, and you're going to get yourself in trouble. So let me remind you, those of you that are part of the congregation, I love all of you, but I want to remind you that when the Lord disciplines you and you get out of line with the Lord, He's going to work some things in your life. Let me tell you, He does that twice as hard to a pastor. We're held at a more higher accountability. Doesn't mean we're better or stronger or anything. Doesn't mean that. It's just God expects us to act appropriately. To get letters like this is good. John 2 is good. With a warning. John 3 is good. But if you're Diotrephes, it's not good. I don't know how that all ended out. But I would assume John went. Just like Paul went and took care of business. Learn to love each other. That's what John talks about. Learn to love one another. You may not like me some days. You may not like some decisions that were made. But let me tell you, you can love people even when you don't like what they do. And if you don't like something that I've done or decision or whatever, you can talk to me about it, but I ask you to pray about it first. If you pray about it first, you're going to come in with a different attitude, and you can still have the same thing, but it'll come off better. You'll be speaking through the Holy Spirit and not through emotions of anger. Does that make sense? And I think you do too, for New Life to have a good name, for it to have a good testimony. And you know, earlier this year, I think it was or last fall, out of all the churches in America, we were lifted up for one Sunday. Tom Rainer put our name, and he is the number one kind of guru for all churches. And there was a piece that was on New Life Fellowship Church. And I have got emails from people from Colorado, Arizona. I got emails from different places. I didn't lift our name up. Somebody else did. And when someone else lifts your name up, oh, it's much more better than when you lift yourself up. It's a good testimony coming back. It's a good name coming back. Now, folks, I want to tell you, there are some churches in town that struggle. You may not always like what they do or whatever. Love them. Learn to love them. I have to go in my closet and pray about a couple. But I need to remember that this is the flock that I'm over right here. And to pray for the other churches. Because it's not just about us. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. And tonight...